Hey everyone, thanks for downloading the podcast. I just want to start by warning you that myself and John were a little bit tired when we recorded this podcast, so there is a little bit of swearing. If you want to make sure that your children's ears are covered or your cats are put back in the cupboard before you listen to it, that would be great. But remember, you have been warned. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Backflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. You can find us on twitter.com/backflips_nerds, facebook.com/backflipsandnerds, and our new, can we still call it new, website, backflipsandnerds.com. I'm joined tonight by Ben Carter and John McGee. So we'll start with you, Ben. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Tom. Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. John, how are you?
I'm tired, so whoever's in my way is going to face my wrath, and I've got a feeling it might be a team from Canada.
I was telling Ben that I'm pretty tired as well after chasing my daughter around most of the day. We went to the zoo, and then after an hour and a half, we left the zoo because she simply wasn't listening and asked for a sandwich, then spat the sandwich out and threw it on the floor, asked for something out, spat it out and threw it on the floor. So, yeah, we're both tired, which should make for a great show tonight.
What do you listen to in the zoo? Would she not listen to the monkeys, or would she not listen to your terrible chat about lions or something?
Do you know what? I do actually come out with quite a few what I would call fun facts, which I know in sort of effectively wild style are just terrible. So she's probably not that interested. And knowing me, I'll probably mention it about three or four times every single time we go. So she's a bit bored of them there.
Did you know that the Eurasian Gibbon is Dustin Pedroia's favourite primate?
More Dustin Pedroia facts, same time next week. Right then, on tonight's show, we finally made it. We're finally at the regular season. And John, finally, spring training is over. You can stop being miserable.
Yes.
Regular season is here. So this is going to be our normal podcast. This is going to be it. So we're going to try and do it weekly, but we'll see how that goes. We're going to do a bit of chit-chat to begin with. And then we're going to look at talking about the teams in turn, but not in real detail, just quickly looking at them and just seeing who we think might be overperforming, underperforming, or it's sitting about right at the moment. We'll look at some anomalies and team stats and pitching and batting, and then we'll have a bit of a wrap-up at the end. But let's start off then by seeing who's caught the most games so far. So with me writing Tuck in Hell and sticking with the Red Sox, I've only really been watching those two teams. What about you, Ben? What have you been watching?
I've been watching a fair amount of the Rockies to start this season, just because they've had quite a few games on UK, which is a West Coast team, is a rarity and something I've tried to take advantage of. But most of the time I've managed to catch them, they've played really badly. So I might have to stop doing that just for my own sanity. Them aside, I've been catching basically whatever pitching matchups I like the look of. So we had a few good ones, especially around opening day, of course, when the Aces were on the mound. They're a little bit more dispersed now. But trying to catch some where I can. I tried for the first time today listening to just a radio broadcast of a game, which is quite relaxing, actually. I was trying to work over the top of it. Didn't really work. But I might give that a try in future. So catching what I can at the moment, yeah.
I ended up doing the same, actually, with the washing up. I ended up listening to the radio because I usually set up my iPad on the windowsill and watch games. But I'm actually doing the radio now after what Matt recommended to us from Matt GB Baseball. And it's actually been really good. I quite enjoyed it. What about you, John? What have you been catching it with?
Well, I've been watching a lot of the Red Sox games. It was a pretty good start to the season as a Red Sox fan, not in terms of them all shitting everywhere, but in terms of the games being on at a sensible time to catch. So I saw a few of those, and it seems like the Tigers are on every day at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. So when I'm getting home, what's on? Oh, for goodness sake, it's the Tigers again. I'm sick of the sight of Miguel Cabrera's doughy visage hacking through the ball. Bless him. He's not had a good start. And the Brewers, I've seen a couple of Brewers games. I always enjoy watching the Brewers. They seem to find these utterly rubbish pictures from nowhere and they turn into absolute marvels, Chase Anderson being the latest one off the rank. So I've been watching a few Brewers games. I always have a bit of a soft spot for them, as I think we all know.
I can't even remember last year and the year before, but is opening week generally filled with a lot of day games, or is it just me?
I don't know. I can't remember this there ever being, you know, in all my time following baseball, you know, particularly as I've been following it assiduously every day, looking at every single score over the last 2 or 3 years, I can't remember there being this many day games. Particularly not, I mean, apart from the Cubs, obviously being the exception, the Tigers, they're just playing in the day every day. It's bizarre.
Tigers are one of those teams that I would generally not watch. If there's a choice of two games, unless it's Yankees on Yes Network, it would generally be the Tigers that I won't watch. I don't know why it is. I kind of like that with the NFL. If Carolina are playing, I'm just not watching them. I just don't like watching that team. Okay.
They're remarkable, aren't they, the Tigers?
Yeah.
Sort of there, apart from when Verlander. And even when Verlander's pitching, I mean, he's absolutely brilliant, but he's got to be the least impressive ace that there is going. He's kind of like an ace by stealth, isn't he? You get through inning seven and you're just like, hang on, there's been one hit off this guy. What's happening?
Yeah, certainly that game against Chris Sale the other night, which was incredibly frustrating to watch.
Here all night, I mean, let's not.
Chris Sale was just cheating, wasn't he, when you watched that game? I don't know if you saw the highlights, Ben, but Chris Sale's slider was just incredible, as everyone knows.
Yeah, I saw some of it. He's unbelievable. I've always wondered how he does it, because every time I've tried it, I feel like my arm's button. Clearly, that's why he's pitching for $100 million and I'm not.
Fair enough. Right, have we had any major standout moments that we've seen? I think for me, it's probably the incredible Angels comebacks. They just don't give up. What about you, John?
Yeah, definitely the same. I was going to say the walk-off bunt. Without being sort of mean to our friends at MLB UK, they put together a video package the other day talking about, you know, what was the best thing of the day. And it was, you know, your classic Kevin Pillar diving catch, and it was Michael Brantley's walk-off double, which was a really nice story, obviously. But for goodness sake, I mean, the walk-off bunt, when was the last time you saw one of those, particularly coming from a ridiculous number of runs behind? And, you know, Mike Trout having just robbed a home run because he's Mike Trout. Yeah, walk-off bunt, what a thing.
What about you, Ben?
I think the standout thing for me so far this season has been George Springer's leadoff home runs. I think he's got four of them now, and I have no idea what the major league record is for a season, but I'm sure he's on pace for it at the moment. I think he's only had something like 8 hits this season in leadoff home runs, which is pretty cool. So that's something to keep an eye on. I feel like there's always someone doing something weird like that the first week of the season, but I quite enjoy those quirky little stats to start the year.
But it's weird, isn't it? Because I always plan to, at the start of the year, the sort of first couple of weeks, go, right, I'm going to write some of this stuff down. And then when we get to the end of the year, have a look back and see if it actually came to, if that player actually continued it or that team still surprised. Which actually has put us into a nice little segue of looking at the early season feature that all of the podcasts will do, but we'll do it with a bit more dramatic effect. And we're going to call it Better As Expected or Panic Mode. So we're going to look at what's happened with this.
Catchy.
Say it again.
That's catchy.
Well, let's go for another one then. Let's brainstorm. Let's do it right now.
I can't be bothered. Just do it. That'll do.
No, you're the consultant. Tell me. I want you to mind map it. I want you to put it on a board with a whiteboard and markers. Let's do it.
What did you give me? Better as expected or panic mode?
Yeah, go.
Red light, orange light, green light.
So I'm guessing the red light's panic mode.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're sticking with that. We're going with it. You're the one that's paid to do this. How much would that cost us to get that consultant fee?
I'm not divulging my fees.
Right then. So,
in that, guys, just if you want a consultation, give me a shout.
You can contact him on Twitter at French Scarecrow, whatever it is. We still haven't gone into that. We need to do that.
No.
We're never going to do it.
No.
Right, so let's look at what's happened with the team. What does it mean for them? Red, amber, or green? And will this last? So very, very quickly, AL East, the only one I've really picked out, and I'm going to let John talk about this one because he looks like he's itching to do it, is the Toronto Blue Jays, who, of course, are 1-7 and dead last. And he's got a beaming smile on the image in front of me now. Go, John.
Well, they've been absolutely awful, haven't they, Tom? It's lovely stuff. Oh, losing 2-0 to the Milwaukee Brewers off my mate Marcus Stroman, giving an absolutely masterful start. carrying his World Baseball Classic form over and being outpitched by my other great pal, who I've just mentioned at the top of the show, Chase Anderson. Great to see. I just can't believe how terrible they are. It's absolutely unbelievable. And they had, when I was looking at their start to the season and they had the Rays followed by the Brewers, I was just like, oh, for crying out loud. You just know they're going to be like 9-1 after a week. And for the rest of the season as a Red Sox fan, you're just going to be two games behind them. But here we are. It's flipping deja vu, the Twilight Zone, and the fucking Baltimore Orioles are 7-2 despite being absolutely bloody awful. But nevertheless, we're not talking about the Orioles. We're talking about the Blue Jays. And I'm sorry, I know a lot of Blue Jays fans listen to this podcast and you're all absolutely lovely people, but it's hilarious to see your angry, shouty, excitable fans, you know, wetting the bed already. And long may it continue as far as I'm concerned. So they are definitely in panic mode.
So they're definitely red light then. John and I look at WhatsApp every now and then, and usually whoever's at first usually writes Blue Jays hashtag lol, and that's it, and we just leave it at that until the other one sees the score. And it's quite an amusing way to start this. And as John said, sorry Blue Jays fans, but if you're going to get rid of Edwin and not get anyone else in, you're going to start losing games.
How's the big man doing? Big Kendris. Is he? I haven't actually looked at his numbers.
You know what? I've not had a look. Everyone was all excited in spring training, but I've not even looked. Ben, have you got some stats page up there? You look like you're staring.
I've got them up in front of me. I've typed in all the variations. He's doing all right, actually, for the Blue Jays as a team. He's hitting 250. He's got a home run. He's like fifth on the team in terms of OPS. So
that's not too bad.
As far as the 1-19 goes, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. He's certainly doing better than Byron Buxton, but we're going to come on to that, I guess.
Right, anyway. let's shuffle on nicely to the AL Central then. So Minnesota Twins, 5-3, and they had quite a hot start. And yes, we're talking about a very small sample size of 8 games. But they're in second at the moment. So what do you reckon to that then, Ben?
I'm going to give this a red light. Not panic if you are the Minnesota Twins, because obviously this is great. But panic if you think the Minnesota Twins are going to be top of the AL Central for much longer. Yeah. Because I don't see it happening, I'm afraid. It's the team that's had some awesome pitching so far this season. I think they're top of the league in most categories. They've had Jason Castro swinging the bat like an MVP candidate, which is very un-Jason Castro-like. And I just don't see it continuing for very long, unfortunately. You might recall that the White Sox were top of the AL Central for a while, and there's always talk about an all-Chicago World Series, and we all sort of know how that turned out in the end. So whilst I'm pleased for Twins fans, they've at least got something to cheer about, and a team above 500, I don't think it's going to last a lot longer. So I'm going to say not a believer in that hot start.
Ben, you've just reminded me of that story from last year. That was it. The all Chicago World Series. That was hilarious. When you look at that now, you look back at it, the collapse that the White Sox had was just amazing. It was so dramatic. John, have you got anything on the Twins?
Was when James Shields arrived, pretty much, wasn't it?
Yeah. It all went
precipitously downhill. Big game, James. Just a big load of old crap. the Twins are winning, actually. I've just checked the score there. They're winning 3-2 up in Detroit, and they've just chased Zimmerman from the game. So they're into the Tigers' terrible bullpen in the fifth inning. So that could be a good sign. But
hot update. It's now 6-2.
Oh, is it? There you go. So that shows how quickly my at-bat was updating on my phone. So yeah, I don't know. I think I'm maybe a little bit more bullish than Ben, because if you think about it, like, everyone expected them to be much better than they were last year. I mean, they were absolutely wretched. And as I said, Buxton, his defense looks absolutely superb, but his batting is just not there at all. So there's plenty to come there. Rosario's batting under the Mendoza line as well. I noticed Sano's swinging through absolutely everything. So if you think about it, you know, that they're an offense with some fielding defense team, and they're not getting much from either of those sides of things. And if the pitching is average to decent, then, you know, they're not going to win that division, I don't think. But they could surpass expectations and projections, certainly. But, you know, as Ben said, very early days, they're not going to win that division. No way.
No, I think everyone was touting the Indians, and I still stick with the Indians. Going on to the Indians, though, they're currently 4-4, and some parts of the mainstream media are already panicking. I mean, it's pretty typical. What do you reckon, John?
I think it's absolute bollocks. I mean, Salazar's not pitching yet. I think Miller's had a pretty rough start. But, you know, you can still see that team spirit's there, can't you? Lindor, I mean, he's genuinely looking like a franchise player. Kipnis isn't in the team. He's been injured. He's been on the DL. I saw that they had Chisenhall is coming back in today. So they're not exactly half a team or a skeleton staff like the Red Sox were for a couple of days there. But they've not been at full strength, and there's plenty more to come from them. I still think, they've got to be favourites for that division.
Yeah, there's no worries for me at all. I'm quite content, especially when they've got the White Sox and the Royals in that division as well. It shouldn't be a problem at all. Anything to add?
Absolutely bloody awful.
Anything to add, Ben?
No, not really. I think the Indians are going to canter to that division. Nothing to be concerned about at the moment for me.
Let's go for the wild card, the mainstream media's darling of the AL West, who was saying there's going to be three teams coming out of there in the postseason. So I first want to talk about the Angels, who we've already mentioned at the top of the show, the fact they're having these crazy comebacks at the end of games. They're currently 6-3 and in first position. What do you say to that, Ben?
I'm a little surprised, just because I sort of had them as one of the weaker teams in that division. But obviously, again, it's the first 2 weeks of the season. Anything can happen. And they do have Mike Trout on their team, which we've always said is kind of a game changer. We've already seen him make some great plays this season, so I'm not too surprised they're doing well. Like you mentioned, it's been the manner of their wins that's been most impressive, because a couple of times now they've been down and out, really, in the late innings and have launched a pretty impressive comeback, which has got to be very cool for their fans and probably a good sign, too, for the team. So if they can get some good clubhouse mojo going and keep Trout healthy and Pujols productive, I think they could be a dark horse in that division. So I guess a yellow light, are we giving that? I'm not sure how that fits into our red, yellow, green scale. I think there might be a little something here for them.
I don't think the red, yellow light, green light thing works, guys. But, you know, we should just go with it. I think it's okay. I think we've paid a lot in consultancy fees for that, so I think we should just...
I feel like we got ripped off, to be honest.
it could be worse. You could have signed Neftali Feliz as your closer or Ben Revere when the Angels did that, and it's going okay. Not Neftali Feliz, that was the Brewers. Darius liked the Angels before the season. He said that they'd signed some good players. I mean, he's not wrong. Cameron Maybin's certainly not a bad player at all. Certainly not when he's playing in center field, of course. But yeah, it's a funny one. I certainly would have had them as outsiders in that league. But the ones who maybe were the dark horse outsiders are on the basement, aren't they? I'm sure you're going to talk about them in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, we'll quickly rattle through the next two. So Oakland A's at 5-4 in third position. I wasn't too high on them. And when we spoke to Matt on the preview podcast, the way he was talking, I was like, I'm just not buying this at all. And I think Matt actually put them maybe at 500 or just below 500, but I wasn't buying it. What do you reckon, John?
I think they're a 500 team, to be honest. I think what you're seeing with them is that they've got quite a few players who are going to be pretty good, I think, given a bit of seasoning and a couple of years, particularly in the pitching staff. I think Jarrell Cotton looks a really interesting pitcher, and Sean Manaea, who's a player I've seen pitch against the Red Sox a couple of times, and he's tended to not stay in the game for very long and get lit up sort of fourth or fifth inning, but whilst he's on, he looks like he's a really promising guy. So once he gets it to click and it looks like it's happening, he looks very promising. And of course, this is without Sonny Gray, of course, as well. On the hitting side, I think they're very reliant on Chris Davis and Stephen Vogt still. But if those two are rolling, then yeah, I think they could be a 500 team. They're not going to be much more than that, but a bit of hope for the A's, certainly. Yellow light.
Yellow. Go for yellow. So yeah. They're going to be as expected, you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
So what about the Rangers then? John made a good point about the Pythagorean from last year and the fact that they were winning games and only just scraping through games. They're currently 3-5 and in fourth place. What do you reckon, Ben?
I had them winning the division this year, so I'm kind of hoping this isn't something to be concerned about. But the bullpen so far this year has been an absolute dumpster fire, which it has been for a few teams. But the Rangers have struggled with their bullpen for a while now, and it doesn't look like they have very many reliable end-game options, which isn't good when you're a team that's hoping to win, 90 or so games. I'm not concerned about the lineup. I think the lineup's going to be productive pretty much from 1 through 9. Rogue Neto Odor, for all of his flaws, is a very good major league hitter, and I think he's going to maybe MVP votes if he stays healthy from the second base position. But I am a little bit concerned about that bullpen and that rotation as well, especially if Darvish doesn't return to his pre-Tommy John surgery form. So I'm a little bit concerned. But as we mentioned, in that division, it's sort of the Wild West at the moment, isn't it?
Quite literally. And unfortunately, my division pick and this bullpen is even worse, with the Seattle Mariners going 2-8 and being dead last. They are just absolutely dreadful. Any thoughts, John?
Yeah, well, not really, beyond the fact that they're absolutely dreadful. They can't hit a lick, and their pitching, particularly in the bullpen, stinks. So poor old Edwin Diaz, God bless him. I mean, he had an absolutely brilliant start to his career at the back end of last year, and he looked completely electric in the World Baseball Classic, but he looks like he just doesn't have a clue where the ball's going at the moment, except that, you know, he's putting it on a tee. You know, if you can put it on a tee at 95 miles an hour or whatever it is he throws. But goodness me, they're a total mess. Can I just say, I think the Rangers, just, I know I'm digressing slightly, but I said before the start of the season that I think the Rangers suck ass and we're going to be rubbish. So hopefully I'm going to be vindicated on that front. Hi, Rangers fans.
We get quite a lot of Rangers fans at the minute on the Twitter account, don't we? I'm regularly seeing mentions from Rangers fans.
Sorry, guys, your team is awful and made up of very, very average players, apart from Mike Napoli, and he's only not average because he's got a good beard and he's good at drinking.
I actually picked Mike Napoli as my Hacking Mass first baseman. If you're not familiar with Hacking Mass, it's the fantasy game on Baseball Prospectus where you essentially pick the worst team you can. And I just thought, Napoli loves swinging through balls, so I'm going to pop him in there. And he's not actually doing too bad for me. The NL East, the only team I've really put out there is the Braves. Now, some of the mainstream media seem to believe that they were going to push for a wild card place, which I wasn't entirely sure about, especially when you got Bartolo and R.A. Dickey in your rotation. I thought it was definitely still a rebuilding year and just getting some big names in just so they could sell some tickets at the stadium. But they've done even worse than expected, I think, in that division, being 2-6 and dead last. Any thoughts, Ben?
No, I'm with you, really. I didn't expect them to do much. I think people maybe got a bit excited when they went out and signed Colon and Dickey and traded for Brandon Phillips and thought maybe they're going to try and compete, but it was never really going to happen realistically. And this is kind of for them, but they don't really, if they're not going to compete, they might as well lose games, you know, get the higher draft picks. So although Braves fans might be a bit upset, it's been this bad start season, they can take solace in the fact that the team is getting better and that they have Freddie Freeman at first base, who is, again, putting in a fantastic season, and will get absolutely nothing for it.
A bit like Mike Trout.
It is. Maybe I'll start.
He's not far off. He's awesome, Freeman. And he's sort of like the best baseball player who your Common Garden baseball fan has never heard of, particularly over in Britain. Because, you know, as I've said many times before, American sports fans in the UK don't know who Mike Trout is. But I think many baseball fans probably don't know who Freddie Freeman is. He's just a bit anonymous. I think with them, Swanson's had a poor start, hasn't he? NCRT's been not very good. He hit two home runs last night. But they're only going to get better, but they're not going to get that much better, at least not soon.
I think I'm going to throw Goldschmidt and Joey Votto into the mix of baseball players that other baseball fans don't actually know.
Oh yeah, sure. They're all first basemen.
That's a very good point. Yeah,
I think the thing about Freeman though is he's actually very handsome in a sort of bookish nerd way, which is maybe why I commend him. He's got glasses and he sort of looks like he probably likes Belle and Sebastian. Good for him.
what's Belle and Sebastian? Is that a drink?
Yeah, it's a drink. Yeah, it's both a 1960s French cartoon and an early 2000s Scottish twee indie folk band.
Oh, what a surprise! It's an indie folk band. There's a massive surprise, John. Wow. Right, let's get on to the second.
A Brit Award, Tom. They want a Brit Award. Carry on.
What's a Brit Award?
Carry on.
NL Central, I think this is the team of baseball at the moment. And I've certainly, after listening to a lot of Eric Rosebery podcasts, I've decided to have a look at the Reds this year a bit more. And the Reds are 7-2 and in first place and actually looking pretty damn good. John, what do you say to the Reds?
Well, what can you say other than what the flipping heck's going on there? I feel really did a bad slayer. Honestly, I haven't got a clue what's going on. That bullpen's unbelievable. What is it, like 1.6 ERA across the whole bullpen? And they've got basically a rotation of seven-year-olds. Good grief. I can't believe it. And, of course, Votto is being Votto. And Zach Cozart is carrying on from where he left off last year, which means he's not going to be the person who you've never heard of who all of a sudden garners a massive trade scoop in a couple of months' time. He probably still will be, to be honest. Yeah, this is a funny old one, isn't it? This just can't last. It's completely obscene, but fun, isn't it? It's really fun. Nice to see the Reds doing well. Just a shame that they released Chris Bassett, so we can never like them.
Yeah, that's true. Although Chris has said he's coming over to the UK, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
As you said, let's get him a pint or five. Ben, talk to me about the St. Louis Cardinals. Is it time to panic for them? 3-6, dead last.
No, not for me. I mean, it's not really time to panic for any team, is it? But if we play along with the game anyway, I still don't think the Cardinals have much to worry about. I think there's been some issues in that rotation to start the season. And I think that's going to be an issue to carry on the year. I know when we did the preview podcast, we were talking a little bit about how they had quite a deep rotation. I don't really buy that. I don't think they have an ace outside Martinez or someone who can back him up very ably. Line up to start the year, but it's looking a little bit fragile now. If guys like Piscotty and Grichuk don't hit to their full potential, I think that's going to be a lineup that is going to be turned over quite easily. So a little bit of concern maybe for Cardinals fans. I think Sung Hwan Oh, their closer, who has got a bit of a cult following, gave up a huge home run the other day. So maybe even the back end of the game, looking to give the Cardinals fans. But I'm going to chalk this one up as a rough week and nothing really to worry about.
Do you think the anger West... might...
Go on.
Do you think the anger in Mike Matheny's gone up or down?
What's that? Sorry?
The anger with Mike Matheny, it's almost definitely gone up, mate. I mean, come on.
Is there any room left in this glass to be angry about? I mean, they just keep getting angrier and angrier, Cardinals fans.
I think that's kind of what they live for. They don't live for glory, they live for anger. You missed a trick, mate. The way you should have introduced this, being the man who's into his puns, is to ask whether or not this would stick. Will it stick? Will the Cardinals stick? Do you get it?
No.
Oh, the chest guard and the baseball and the Molina and the cheating.
Oh, my God, of course, yeah. Which I got jumped up by a Cardinals fan quite quickly saying, everyone knows that the front of chest protectors are made of nylon and the stitches of a baseball can stick into it. And I went, okay. I said, how often does this happen? He said, I saw it once at high school. And I went, okay, so a high school pitcher is going to throw slower than a major leaguer, managed to get it to stick somebody's chest. That's fine. And you've seen it once. How many at-bats have you actually seen in your life? Bearing in mind, this guy still plays baseball. And he said, yeah, but I was facing major league pitchers in high school. I went, yes, but they weren't major league pitchers then. They were still at high school. So this is unusual. So for one person to see it in all the at-bats and all of baseball that he's watched, and then to vehemently defend Yadier Molina, I was a bit like, not so sure about that.
I own a baseball, and I can say with some conviction, that is bollocks.
I thought about actually writing down any of the swears that we're going to do tonight, but I may as well just listen to the whole pod again whilst editing it to edit out all your swears. Or should we just leave it in and make this a parental guidance one?
Yeah, go for it.
It's going to be a nightmare. Right.
Parental guidance anyway, I think it is.
What's that?
Think that you need parental guidance to listen to this rubbish.
That's a very good point. Why does anyone listen? What are we doing? Should we just call it there?
That can just be the name of the podcast. What are we doing?
What are you doing? Listening to it. That's what it should be.
Good question.
Ben, NOS, Diamondbacks, top 7-3. With them being fully fit, is this a surprise?
Yeah, it's a surprise for me. I've liked the Diamondbacks heading into the season the last 2 years, and they have been a cruel and unforgiving disappointment both years. And this year I was firmly off the bandwagon, and of course they get off to a 7-3 start. So I'm at least taking partial responsibility for this one. I don't think it's going to continue for long just because that division's going to be really competitive this year. And I don't think that rotation's any good. But they do have some good hitters. Really mentioned Paul Goldschmidt. He's a kind of perennial MVP candidate. That outfield's got some talent in it. So you know, you never know, do you? But I'd be surprised if they're still around even this time next month, never mind come September.
John, how much of this is the players and how much is this is their awesome new manager?
It's definitely their awesome new manager and their awesome new GM for sure. But I also think it's because they've got the player who is not only, in my opinion, because I never got to answer this question, who is the player most likely to have a kebab at the end of the night? The thing about the Diamondbacks that a lot of people haven't realized is they've not only got the player who's most likely to have a kebab, but most likely to be in one, which is Jake Lamb.
Ah. I thought I was supposed to be doing the puns.
Oh, God.
Don't edit that out.
I can't. It just went on for too long. The build-up for that was incredible. I was so impressed with that. Dan, your Rockies, 6-4 in second place. Expected?
Yeah, I mean, we're probably going to the World Series, maybe winning it. So, yeah, not too upset with the start at all. We got off to a great start to the year. The games I watched, we were doing brilliantly. And now we've held to about 5 runs over about 15 innings by a combination of Jared Cozart, Jared Weaver, and bloke who pitched last night, whose name I can't even remember, which is an infuriating thing to watch. So I started the season really optimistic, especially because the young rotations look quite good. And Greg Holland's been lights out at the end of games. But if this lineup can't hit, this team's not going to win games. So even at 6-4, I'm a little bit bummed out, which feels like I shouldn't be because this team isn't that good. But it just goes to show how baseball fans are never happy, are they?
How's big Gerardo doing?
Gerardo's been brilliant. He took my kick up the backside like a champ, and he's been one of our best players so far this year. So, Gerardo, if you're listening, I take it all back, unless you start sucking again.
So his performance has been inversely proportional to his tiny head.
Absolutely. You would definitely be able to say that.
Excellent.
Right, let's move on to the whipping boys of the preseason, the San Diego Padres, who are currently 5-5. They're in fourth position. I'll take this one if you boys are happy.
What is happening?
The rotation is distinctly average, apart from one Clayton Richard start, which is incredible, against the Dodgers. Then his next one was awful. The bullpen is distinctly average, and it literally is average, sitting around 15th in all stats for ERA and WHIP. The top four of the lineup, if you take out Jankowski, is incredible. Like the best top four in baseball by far. The rest of it is utter dog turd. Like terrible. Austin Hedges got his first hit last night. He had something like 37 at bats, and that was his first hit. He had a 0.0 average going into last night's game. He has been utter toss. But somehow, they're 5-5. They're literally like Brazil of the 90s. It's a case of if we get the ball to our forwards, we will score more goals than you, and that's it. If we get to the top of the lineup, we will score more runs than you. And that's
which one of them's Dunga?
Which one's Dunga? So who's Dunga? Who's the old guy, wasn't he?
He was the old guy who was really like just sort of did nothing.
Did nothing. I was going to say Will Myers because he's kind of the old guy in this really young lineup and he's not even that old.
I think Jared's Dunga. He's carrying them on his back.
Jared Weaver with his 86 mile an hour fastball.
It's faster than you could throw, mate.
That's very true. But I'm not a trained pitcher.
You also don't have a cool beard.
I'm not allowed to grow one. That's the problem. I would like to grow one. But Ben, they're your division rivals. Any points
on the Padres? I mean, got to watch them against Rockies the last few games, and I think they're a solid team, like you mentioned. That lineup's really good. I did get the pleasure of watching Yanjervis Solarte hit into two double plays last night and not care at all about either of them, which is always fun to see on a baseball field. He's leading the majors in double plays right now, it's always a fun stat to follow. That bullpen, I quite liked going into the year. As you mentioned, they've not been the best part of the team so far, but I think the Padres are coming last in this division. But it's nice that they're at least in it to start the year. 5-5. Optimism, maybe. Your Tuck and Hell reviews.
That was the point. I thought I'd be going into this and filling out a lot of moaning and trying to build up the team. But all I've done so far is gone, it's all going quite well. This is This is an inappropriately named blog post now. I've tuck in hell. But never mind. Giants dead last, 4-6. I've ended up watching quite a few Giants games because they're playing the Padres. Their defense is absolutely awful. They're making so many errors and having so many problems. And apart from Brandon Belt, they seem to be struggling to hit. John, have you caught any Giants games at all? Or
I haven't watched any Giants games, but I do have a theory. I think karma's caught up with the fact that Hunter Pence was the bad guy in the two Home Alone films. And although he's personally having quite a good time of it, it's been taken out on the rest of the team. The only Giants game I have seen was the one on the opening day of the season when Bumgarner hit the two home runs and still took the L. That's the only one that I've caught, unfortunately, which I was probably watching for the pitching duel and Zach Greinke's increasingly looking angry face, which I quite like watching. So no, not really a lot in terms of proper content on the Giants from me, I'm afraid, other than it's bizarre and a bit weird.
I think because Bumgarner gets so angry at everyone for everything they ever do in baseball, even if they sort of glance his way, it was a little bit of a Schadenfreude moment to see him hit those two home runs, pitch an absolute gem and still lose. I was quite happy with that. Ben, any thoughts?
No, not really. I think they'll be fine. I think Giants fans tend to be quite reactionary, and especially after last year when the bullpen was so bad, it can be easy to think, oh my God, everything is the same again. Nothing's changing. And like you mentioned, that lineup, I think, was going to struggle for power, especially at AT&T Park. But no, that rotation is so strong, and there's enough in that lineup that I'm not concerned.
Apart from Jeff Samardzija, who is shite. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
I've grabbed up some team stats. The only ones I grabbed for batting, because there's anyone that really interested me, was the fact that the Reds are first in stolen base. They're fourth in average, second in OPS, fourth in home runs, and second in extra base hits. We've already discussed them, but surely this can't continue.
No, it cannot. Move on.
Pitching, right. The leaders in ERA. Has anyone actually... In fact, you two must have looked at this.
Isn't it the Twins, the White Sox, and the Reds? Is that right?
Yeah, it's not the right order, but it's the right team. So combined, it's Reds, Twins, White Sox, which is mental. I think if anyone made that bet before the season, you'd just laugh at them and probably block them on Twitter. Yeah. Or report for spam, and that'd be it.
Yeah.
Starter ERA is Cubs, Tigers, Mets. Any surprises there?
No. Apart from the Tigers, perhaps, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they do have Jordan Zimmermann, who is awful. but Daniel Norris and Matt, is it Matt Boyd? I was going to call him Matt Boyd. I don't know if that's his name. Boyd. They're doing very well, aren't they? Fulmer, obviously, is excellent, as is Verlander, but not as good as Rick Porcello.
We've lost him.
Anyway, so I'm just going to carry on talking.
It's just legged it. Right, bullpen ERA then. It goes Reds, Yankees, Twins. Why are the Twins up there?
I haven't got a clue. I could, if you said to me on pain of death, there's someone holding a gun to your head, name a Twins reliever. I would be a dead man. Except if I was allowed to choose Trevor May, who I know because he's got pretty big eyebrows and quite likes cats. But he's injured, so he's not currently in the Twins bullpen. Can you name a Twins reliever?
That's what I'm trying to do now. Who the hell did the Red Sox send over?
Tyler Duffy.
No, who did the Red Sox send over for a bad? Who was that?
Pat Light. He was Rule 5 by Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, look at you just throwing out the fact.
Yeah, you see, there you go. Tyler Duffy is in the Twins bullpen, so I know that because I saw it the other day. So I am not dead, but you are. And
okay,
you're in the army. What? That's the torture. If you ever get... Not in the army, sorry. You're in the RAF.
I thought that was a massive, massive fish then. I thought you were waiting for me to shout.
I just got it wrong. If you ever get captured... And
that's the question.
Some baddies are just like... What is the worst thing we can ask him? And they've heard this podcast. They're going to know it's name a Twins reliever, or we'll pull.
Right, Ben, it's your turn. Name a Twins reliever. Go.
Jose Berrios.
I don't even know. Is he right?
I don't think he is.
I think he's at AAA. I don't think he is.
He's in AAA. I'm right, though. I am right. It just took me a while.
This is very similar to that Effectively Wild episode where they tried to name the Athletics. Was it just the infield or the whole... No, there's the lineup, wasn't it?
Yeah, the whole lineup.
That was brilliant. I really enjoyed that. I couldn't have done it. I would have struggled. I'd still struggle now. Ryan, Whip. Twins, Dodgers, White Sox for combined. Again, Twins up there. Don't know why.
Because of Tyler Duffy.
You may or may not be in there.
Definitely. But
the bullpen Whip, having the Yankees, Dodgers, and Angels. Now, that doesn't surprise me, especially the Yankees.
Angels, though. I mean, who's in their bullpen? Let's move on. This is getting boring.
I'm just trying to name
Houston Street.
And so far, all I've named is Fernando Abad. He doesn't even play for the Twins anymore.
Houston Street is in the Angels bullpen.
Oh, the closer is the closer. And he's the only...
They've got Cam Bedrosian. He's their closer now, I think.
Oh, there you go. So the closer who is not the closer.
I should know an Angels reliever because I started a team with him on the at the Park Baseball. But I think I actually traded all of the relievers straight away.
That's really good content.
Yeah, perfect. Mm. Right then, I think unless Ben, you're a bit of a stats man. Have you got any interesting stats for us?
Not particularly, to be honest. I think we've covered all the really interesting ones already. With the Twins bullpen and whatnot.
I'm just completely surprised by it all.
Byron Buxton's batting average.
Oh, yeah.
0.87.
Oh, there's a point. We didn't even mention
0.087.
We didn't even mention any of the players this season. So, Big Mig, what's his current batting average?
I don't have the exact batting average, but it's 140-something. It was certainly when I saw it this afternoon. He's had a hit this evening, so it's probably slightly higher than that.
Is that that's clearly not going to last, is it? Let's be honest.
No.
What did Yasiel Puig end up at? Because he had quite a hot start as well. What's he looking at the moment?
Puig, your friend.
Puigio. We're all staring at pages now, trying to learn.
I have got a nice stat actually on Miguel Cabrera. I've got two. One. The Miguel Cabrera, his expected weighted on base average, a nice nerdy stat for us, is 448 this year, and his actual weighted on base average is 188. So a lot of bad luck, but he has missed 40.5% of fastballs he's swung at this year, which, if you're a major hitter, doesn't sound good. In fact, that's very Buxton-esque, I think some might say.
You wouldn't happen to have the league average of swing and miss, would you? Right there.
It is 18.8%, and he's 18.8,
and he's on 40 odd.
So a little bit of bad speed one, maybe a bit of concern.
A bit of concern, Jesus, that's terrible.
I've got Puig. His batting average is 258 over or under.
Yeah, Johnny's pointing down. Definitely under. That's terrible. Right, who have we looked at this evening who won't be in that position at the end of the season? I think for me, it's going to be the Reds. They're not going to be top of the NL Central.
Mm-mm. No, and I think who is it over in the AL West? I think the
Angels are in the lead at the moment.
I think the Angels could be okay, but I don't think they'll win. I still think that the Astros are going to win that division. I think it's going to be the Rangers. I still think are going to finish last in that division. And I think the NL West, the Padres are going to stink, I'm afraid.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say in the Central, I think in the AL Central, that is, I think the Indians are going to win it comfortably. And I think actually they're going to have the best record in baseball come the end of the year. I'm going to be that bold with it because they've looked really good even when they've gone 4-4, and I don't see any other team giving them a run for their money. So 100 games, book it. 100 wins, sorry.
Wow. I guess a lot of games against some absolute hogwash in the Royals and the Twins, bless them.
Hmm. Yeah. I put in here, who will rise to the top after such a slow start? I'm just scanning up the list now.
It's not going to be the Blue Jays, guys.
No, I don't think... I was about to say that, but they're not going to rise to the top. I still think the Red Sox are going to take the AL East. I don't have much worry about that. That lineup's too strong. And if David Price does come back, let's see what we get out of him. But I still think the lineup's too strong. Ben, what are your thoughts?
I think it will be the Blue Jays. I'm going to play devil's advocate to John here. I think they're going to end up all right. They might not win the division, but they're not going to end the season bottom of that division either. So I see them firmly in the race in a couple of weeks' time. They'll put this slow start behind them, I hope.
You hope? Oh, nice. Cheers, Ben. I hope the Rockies finish last, all right?
Oh. Have you heard that, Gerardo Parra?
Have that Gerardo with your tiny head. John Gray's going to be kidnapped by a ghost and it's all going to go wrong.
So my tiny post that I thought I'd found, not an amazing fact, but I was quite surprised at the fact that only one team out of the last 20 World Series winners has come out of April and May with a losing record and gone on to win the World Series. Only one team has come out of April with a losing record and gone on to win the World Series. So who is currently in the losing state could go on to win the World Series?
Nobody.
You're not picking anyone?
No.
No.
I'll say the Giants.
Yeah.
I think they've got a chance to at least win a wild card in the National League, and we've all seen what they can do in October. So though it pains me to say it, I think the Giants are the best of the losing teams in that regard.
I think so as well. I'm staring at the Mariners, but I just can't see beyond that bullpen at the moment. I'm sure they'll be... They might make one or two trades before the trade deadline. Let's see. They might make a few. You never know.
The world's second most ineffectual Jezzer.
Do you reckon he'll just get to the stage where he's trading for everyone? He'll go, done, finish now.
I'm trading for Jeremy Corbyn because he's called Jeremy. And it's a bit like Jerry.
I'm done now. I've completed the set. Right. I think that's us really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've brought Jeremy Corbyn into it. We can't there's nowhere to go from here.
No, not really. I think that's enough. We've had enough of randomness as well. So we're going to call that a night then. So thanks very much, everyone, for listening. I've been your host, Tom Pringle. You can find me through Batflips and Nerds. We've also had John here as well. You can find him through Batflips and Nerds. And you can also find Ben. Ben, where can people find you? Because I don't think you're actually listed on our page.
Might not be. No, I am at UK Baseball Blog on Twitter. So you can find me there for all things baseball related.
Yeah, we'll hopefully get Darius back from holiday soon. He's currently away touching turtles or doing something. I don't know what he's up to. Where is he? Is it Easter Island? No, he's not Easter Island.
Galapagos.
Galapagos, that's it.
Yeah. So he's in an attempt to get as far away from this dog shit as possible.
Why didn't we just leave it till Sunday? Jeez, John, I told you. Right, and thanks very much. And we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Right, so that should start. There we go. Welcome to Batflips and Nerds, British baseball. Shall I start that again? Right.
Yeah, I think you should. That was shit.
So I'll give you more energy as well. Hello, and welcome take. To... Oh, brilliant. Talk over me.
All right.
This is all going at the end. Hello, and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the British... Oh, my fucking God. Right. Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with the British twist. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. You can find us on twitter.com/batflipsandnerds and facebook.com/...
Maybe that isn't the Twitter address. That isn't the Twitter address.
This is Ace. Right. Should we just do the pod and then I'll record this on my own later?
No.